Today's scripture is from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written by the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Those of you who like preachers who just come right to the point would love Mark. He can't wait to get to his point. In fact, he saw Luke and Matthew's approach as being unnecessary. All of those stories that we love about Christmas that Luke and Matthew have, Mark didn't seem interested in providing for us. In fact, if you look at the first chapter of Mark, you see about seven verses there where he's dealing with everything, the prophecies and John the Baptizer. He has about three verses where he deals with Jesus' baptism. He has about two verses where he deals with Jesus in the wilderness. By the time you get through 14 verses, he's already preaching and calling his disciples. And by the time you get to 20 verses, he's already into doing his miracles. Mark just jumps right in and gets to his point. And the point that he is getting to is just this: the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Good news is something that we're looking for, isn't it? Do you remember that old song by Anne Murray? It was back in about 1983. Rolled out this morning, kids had the morning news show on. Brian Gumbel was talking about the fighting in Lebanon. Some senator was squawking about the bad economy. Gonna get worse, you see. Need a change of policy. There's a local paper rolled up in a rubber band. But one more sad story is one more than I can stand. Just once, how I'd like to see the headlines say. Not much to print today. Ain't got nothing bad to say. Oh, tell me, nobody robbed a liquor store in the lower part of town. Nobody OD'd. Nobody burned a single building down. Nobody fired a shot in anger. Nobody had to die in vain. Sure could use a little good news today. Tell me nobody was assassinated in the whole wide world today. And in the streets of Ireland, all the children had to do is play. And everybody loves everybody in the good old USA. Oh, sure could use a little good news today. Does that reflect your heart just a little bit? I mean, the stories have changed. The people have changed. It's not Brian Gumbel anymore. It's Matt Lauer, Charlie Rose. And how sad and discouraged we were to hear that some people in such prominent places actually have been a part of doing some things that are inappropriate and hurtful to other people. But, I mean, that's just scratching the surface, is it not? I mean, right now we're dealing with a world that we never thought we'd be dealing with, where people could just come into a worship service like this with an assault weapon with one aim, and that is to kill as many people as possible, or to go into a school and kill as many children as possible. We look around the world and we see millions of refugees. Where they had a home, that home was taken away from them, they flee for their own life, and now they're living, having lost everything, at the mercy of whoever will receive them in their refugee status. And in a world where we have enough food for everybody to have enough and to spare, we still are getting these images of starving children, little children looking and saying, "Mommy, I'm hungry." And the mother has no response except to hold their child while their bellies continue to bloat, and while they become skeletons in the arms of the mother, and while tears roll down her face and the face of her child as flies start gathering around the eye and the mouth. You know, and I hear that millions are starving, but you know, when I think about my own grandchildren and say, what if that was one of them? And you know, there, but by the grace of God, I could have been born in that country instead of where I was. I sometimes wonder about that. Why was I so blessed? Why was I so fortunate to almost get everything when there are people in this world that almost got nothing? And then what does it mean to live in a world where there are so many haves and then there are so many have-nots? And I guess one of the questions for us would be, is the good news that Mark was talking about still good news for us? And it probably was a question that even Mark had in his time. I think Mark was written around 35 years after the death of Christ, and Rome was already on its way to Israel, and it wouldn't be long before Jerusalem and the temple and everything else in the path of that Roman army was going to be destroyed. And that included the people, hundreds of thousands as they came through Israel. Mark had to wonder about that kind of thing, even as we wonder about that kind of thing right now with the war and the atrocities and the genocide. Just millions of people wiped out. Is there good news? Is the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, still? I mean, really, is it good news in our world, in a world like ours today? I know that we don't often raise that question, at least not openly, but in the back of our minds, don't we sometimes? And in our heart, don't we sometimes wonder if that's good news? And if so, how is that good news for us? I think Carlyle Marty said it very well some time ago when he said, it's no secret, nature is cruel. I mean, think, earthquakes, hurricanes, madmen. Nature is cruel. Man is evil. Society produces criminals. The culture is marked by agony. And the innocent are victims of pain and suffering all across the globe. And yet, against this backdrop of cruel nature, evil man, society that produces criminals, culture pierced by agony, and innocent suffering is an amazing assumption, an assumption that's come up in the minds of human beings and in our own minds, and that assumption is that God is a God of love. God is a God of love. Now, can you put those two things together? What Carlyle Marty was saying as he described the world that we live in and what we affirm who believe in Jesus Christ, that God is a God of love. We do say that. And we dare to say that because we believe the unbelievable. We believe that God actually became a human being and came and lived in our world right in the midst of cruel nature, right in the midst of evil man, right in the midst of society that produces crime and criminals, right in the middle of our agony and right in the middle of our innocent pain and suffering, and he became one of us. Now, the church for a while said, you know, that wasn't really the same. They said that God, when he came, still was God. He just appeared to be a human being. And then all the church fathers and mothers rose against that and said, no. What he appeared to be was exactly what he was. And he had to play the game that we all have to play by the very same rules that everybody in the world has to play by. Jesus, God incarnate in a human being, came and lived right where we live and went through right where we go. And that's pretty amazing when you think about it. Because, see, the idea was when God comes, God is going to be the one who sets everything straight, who puts justice there, and who deals with evil, and who deals with enemies, and gives us the dispensing of material and psychological and spiritual goodies, that God comes, in other words, and gives us what we really want and what we think we really need, and he takes care of us by solving our problems, all of them, when we need a God that is capable of solving our problems. But what God showed us is that he's not just the dispenser of material and spiritual and psychological goodies, but he's one that comes and enters right into our life. I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know what everybody in this world is going through in a personal level, but I do know this, that whatever you and whatever anybody else is going through, that is where you will find Jesus Christ, not suffering 2,000 years ago, but suffering right now, right here, right where we are today, because that's the kind of God that we have. I remember when this kind of hit home with me in a little more real way. I was reading the book by Jürgen Moltmann called The Crucified God. What Moltmann's primary premise was that a God of love could only be a suffering, dying God. If God can stay safe in a heavenly place and watch other people suffer the way that we do, then he could not be a God of love. But if he comes and enters into our situation, vulnerable, weak, experiencing the very same things that we experience, then God could indeed be a God of love. And he told a story in there by Elie Wiesel. Wiesel, of course, was the Nobel Peace Prize winner and survivor of Auschwitz. He lost siblings at Auschwitz. His mother and his youngest sister actually got off the train, went straight into the concentration camp, straight to the gas chambers, and straight to the crematorium. His dad lasted for a while with him before he also died in the concentration camp, and he had other siblings that died there. But one day, just to make the point, Elie Wiesel says that the SS pulled us out and made all of us, the prisoners, stand before the gallows. And there they had two Jewish men and one Jewish youth to be hung. And as they hung them, the two men died instantly, but the youth squirmed in the noose for more than 30 minutes. And Elie Wiesel said he heard a voice from behind him say, "Where is God? Where is God?" And then they watched until the youth finally died in that noose after 30 minutes of hanging there. And again, that voice cried out quietly behind Elie Wiesel, "Where is God? Where is God?" And Wiesel said that there was a voice that came from within him that said, "Where is God? He's right there. In a young Jew hanging in a Nazi noose on a Nazi gallows. The same God that identified with another young Jew who hung from a Roman cross some 2,000 or so years ago." And so, if you ever look around and you see somebody and you wonder, why are they going through this? Why did they have to endure this? Why did this family have to go through this? Why are they having to go through this disease? Why did they have to endure this unexpected accident? Why did they have to experience the worst evil that could be bestowed on another human being? You can ask yourself, where is God in that? But I want to tell you, where you're going to find God is right there in the place where people are hurting. That hurting, of course, is not forever. What we know is what Paul knew when he said, "I consider the suffering of this present time not to be compared with the glory to be revealed to us. For we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. What are we to say then? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, will He not also with Him give us everything else?" So we know that the glory is there yet to be. But right now, there is suffering. And where are we to be in that? Well, we're to be right there where Christ would be. We're to be right there where we work and live and preach as people of the incarnation, where we seek justice and resist evil and love our enemies and love ourselves and seek to care for the poor and seek to teach our children to love and not to hate and to keep on talking about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Because whether we live or die or live in the next life God has for us, we are not alone. God is with us.